There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Life has changed almost overnight.
Yeah, you have a lot of questions. We are going to try to get you some answers. I'm Mike Simpson.
And I'm Charles Feldman. Together, we host Coronavirus Daily, a podcast designed to help us all get through this crisis together.
We go around the world and talk to some of the top experts out there. So think of this as a guide for you and your family. Multiple ways to listen: radio.com, the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Remember, that's Coronavirus Daily.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number 4, KIDS. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
So, Kenny, I got to ask you, man, what them streams been looking like over the last couple of days? Since...
You know, just on the first day alone, I hear that, you know, I haven't seen it totally, but I know the YouTube press reported, I saw that it was like over a million just within the 24-hour period. It may have been less than 24 hours. So a lot of times we get those reports quarterly, things like that, after everything has been all tallied up. But I am definitely going to do the research to find out, because that's the fascinating one for me, or at least I'll see it on my royalty statement.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for, that you would see it on your royalty statement, and that's a great thing.
You give me that Oprah effect. Like, remember when the book club would come out, Oprah, who knew? I mean, Michael Jordan, you know, mentioning your name has been like that super boost like that Oprah used to give people. It's incredible.
Make me a bicycle clown.
We had so much fun with Kenny Lattimore yesterday. It was great to get his thoughts on being Michael Jordan's pump music, his hype music, getting ready for games, but he's listening to smooth R&B. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on in more detail, because it's ideally you're thinking that everyone wants to hear Queen, you know, We Will Rock You, as they're getting ready to play a game. But when you talk to players, you'd be surprised at how many of them actually go in the opposite direction and listen to something a little softer before they take the field. Or I haven't really talked to hockey players about it. I don't know if hockey players do the same thing. But I've talked to baseball, basketball, and football players about like what their music is in their routine and getting ready. And it's usually a little bit softer than you would expect. Thanks for hanging out. I'm glad that you're here. We have a great show for you planned today. Matt Spiegel is going to join me at 1 o'clock, because there's a lot to go through with baseball and the negotiations, and there's supposed to be a formal proposal sent to the players tomorrow. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about all of the things that might be in it from a health standpoint, of all the things that players can and cannot do. Apparently there was some 67-page document on the subject. I know some of the highlights. I dispatched Speaks to kind of break it all down, so he will with me at 1 o'clock. Mark Lazarus of The Athletic is going to join me at 12:20. I'm excited to talk with him about the NHL and their proposal of a 24-game playoff that, as of now, would have the Blackhawks in the playoffs. Playoffs? Yeah, they would be in it. They'd be the 12 seed in the Western Conference. There's also some other hockey stuff that I want to talk to with Lazarus, so we're going to do that at 12:20. So, this morning, I threw up a poll on Twitter, and you can follow me on Twitter, at Lawrence W. Holmes. That's where you can find me. That's also where I'm at on Instagram, if you have Instagram. And I think I don't really do Snapchat, but I have Lawrence W. Holmes on Snapchat if you want to add me on Snapchat. I don't see us sending videos back and forth, but whatever. I mean, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. The reason that I threw this poll up on Twitter was because of a story that I saw, which I'll get to in a minute. The Twitter poll was this. Your favorite team is playing a game in 60 days. There's going to be 20,000 people there. I give you a pair of tickets. Would you go? It stayed pretty steady. It ended up, I wanted to end the poll before the show started. 62 people commented on it, but 2,600 people voted on it. And it was pretty steady all throughout. 60% of the people say, no, I'm not doing that. 40% of the people say, yes, hallelujah, I would go. And then there are the people, oh, we should just sell the tickets. And that's not really the point of the exercise, but I get where you're coming from. The reason that I brought it up is because yesterday on a conference call, Gene Smith, who's the athletic director of the Ohio State University, was talking about a model that the folks there have that stays that they claim stays consistent with social distancing, that they could ideally get 20 to 22,000 people into the Horseshoe, which holds, 108,000 people for a game in the fall. That's what their model tells them. What I think is interesting about all of this, and if you've been listening to the show over the last few weeks, I think that it's going to be really difficult for college football to come back if the medical environment that we're in doesn't change dramatically. And the reason that I've always thought that it was going to be difficult for it to come back is because there isn't a union for the players, and getting all those players to get on the same page with their health and safety. Yeah, these are ideally healthy 18 to 22 year old men, young men, that would be going back to campus, but those 18 to 22 year old men have parents, and I'm not sure if parents are going to be like, yeah, you should go back. I also think that it has been interesting, pun intended, how the goalposts on college football have kind of moved, where it's like, oh, well, yeah, we're concerned about the health and safety of the players, and now it's like, oh, not only will we get the kids back, we're also going to get fans back. Part of the reason that colleges, the football factories like Ohio State, my alma mater, Alabama, that they want people there, although right now in Tuscaloosa, we got ourselves a little bit of a problem, don't we? Because all the people that are doing the rehab on the stadium, there's a little cluster of COVID outbreak that's going on right now. So they had to stop work. Anyway, you're going to see more and more of the football schools. And I've been chronicling this for you over the last couple of weeks, saying, oh, yeah, we're going to open up our campus. Notre Dame, we're going to start school early so that we can do learning maybe in the e-learning maybe in the fall when the pandemic comes back. Them opening the doors to the university in August allows them to do what? Allows them to have football. College athletics and the financing that goes into college athletics, I've been doing a real deep dive on it, and I'm looking forward to having a couple people on that are smarter than I am when it comes to this stuff in the next few days, because I think that there's some stuff that you should know about the way that college athletics is funded. And I know some people don't care. They just want to see their alma mater get themselves on the field. But if you've noticed, a lot of these places have talked about how they don't have any cash reserves. Like, you see all the money that is generated by college football overall, but there's a big portion, of Power 5 conference teams that don't have a cash reserve. And so that's why you're seeing people get laid off. You're seeing them kill sports. You're seeing a lot of different things happen. The numbers are like this. 41% of Power 5 conference teams have reserve cash on hand. 26% of the Group of Five conferences have cash on hand. Boise State has been struggling with this, and they've been public in talking about all of these things. It's estimated that 75 to 85% of athletic department revenue comes from football. There really is a financial stake in getting football played. When you hear me say that, I don't want you to think that I endorse that. I just want you to understand that there is a lot of money at stake. The estimate is around $4 billion. And the money that football generates allows a school to have a lacrosse team, a tennis team, a diving team, a swim team, whatever it is. They usually end up funding a lot of the other sports. The problem is since college athletics is supposed to be nonprofit, you can't see me in my basement, but I'm using air quotes. Since it's supposed to be nonprofit, there's no incentive for athletic departments to turn a profit or to show a profit. So what do? They take the money and put it back into facilities. That's why there's this arms race of, oh, well, we have this crazy locker room where, sure, our players are only going to be in it so many times, but they've got PS2s in there, or PS4s now in there, maybe PS5s. They may have gotten them early. They've got all this stuff inside their locker stall, and you're sitting there going, do they really need all of this? Is that something that is going to make a player choose one school over another? The data on players when it comes to that is, it doesn't necessarily bring players in because Clemson has these incredible facilities where they have a slide and all of this other stuff. But the economics of college sports should be under review. How athletic departments spend their money and what they spend their money on, and why it is that that money ends up going back into the facilities so that they don't have to show that they're turning a profit. Sean Frazier is the athletic director at Northern Illinois. I had a really great conversation with him not too long after we started doing shows from home. I appreciate him. I think he's a really smart guy, and I think that he is someone that has players' best interest in mind, but he also has to run the business of college athletics at NIU. I talk with him about the importance of football. Listen to his answer.
So the reality is this, right? That's a big nut. And obviously I talked about the potential $600 million nut that happened based on the revenues from the men's basketball tournament. But as you can imagine, maybe double, triple, maybe quadruple what's involved when you're taking away a football to an FBS program like ours. So, it's something that is a heresy to even think about, but the reality is that we are modeling those things, right? We are modeling scenarios from worst-case scenario of no season at all to a postponed or delayed season. So we're constantly in that, again, no substitute for daily preparation. So we need to take a look at what that might look like and the financial impact for that not happening. But again, Lawrence, this is all about the health and safety, right? We have to see how things go, but it's important also to model those issues. And those are real realities that if that happens, we need to make sure we plan. And that, it will be quite devastating. I can't even try to tell you anything different than that. If we do not have a football season, it will definitely change the fabric of college athletics.
Yeah, it will. But I hope that beyond them trying to get football back, and it's $4 billion with a B dollars that it would be at stake for college football. I hope that there's also some more responsible spending, and there's some really creative accounting that goes on. even when you start talking about scholarship money in particular, on what they, what usually happens is with athletes who come on campus, you know how you get that thing from a university where it's like, this is the in-state tuition and this is the out-of-state tuition. Whenever you're talking about scholarship players, the way that universities creatively account it is that all those scholarship players, they get the maximum. So they're looked at as out-of-state tuition, maximum stuff. It's very, it's a fascinating way to go about the accounting of those dollars, and in some case state dollars. It's over the last 3 days I've been just like digging and finding out more and more stuff, and I understand now why some of the people, some of my academic brothers and sisters really hate the athletic department. But the athletic department brings so much money into universities, it makes you wonder, like, what is the job of a university? And can universities get away with being about making money and educating people at the same time? And if athletic departments had been more responsible leading up to this pandemic, would there be such thirst and rush to try and get back on the field? I don't have an answer for it. I just know that I would feel uncomfortable going to a game if things are status quo. If we move in the right direction, there have been some indications that we are, and I went through a little bit of that yesterday, maybe, but I was a little surprised. I thought it would be a little bit closer to 75-25 on whether people would be comfortable going to games. My thing is, sure, you're right. We can probably social distance it out in the stands, but getting into the facility, you're going to come in contact with a lot of people. The fact that they're not doing this in Korea or China yet makes me feel like we're really far away, because they're actually playing sports and no one's in the stands. We're just talking about it and we're already projecting out that we're going to have people in the stands. It's a little aggressive for me, just a little. We'll take a break. When we come back, Mark Lazarus of The Athletic is going to join me. Hockey might have a 2014 tournament. If they do, the Blackhawks would be in it. I'm going to discuss that with him next here on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show.
Peter Gammons.
If they end up not playing the rest of this year, this is not 94-95. Cal Ripken ain't walking back through that door again. To a sport that is declining, I mean, they have a chance to do what could be irreparable damage.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. There's a lot to digest as we get leagues and sports returning to the field or making plans to do so. And as we do that, I've got to point something out that's been driving me nuts recently. Because I'm in this camp and I can't believe this is what some think me and many others are doing. When we wonder if a league is moving too fast or think their plan is insufficient or worry about a coronavirus flare-up later this year or whether it's fair to make college athletes play while normal students can learn from the safety of home, we're not rooting for the virus or hoping there are no games. Too many smart people seem to think that about us, and it's pretty disappointing, and honestly, it's insulting. We're rooting for safety and good health and long lives, which is what we should all be rooting for. I'm Andrew Bogish.
This segment was brought to you by True Green.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
We know staying in is a little easier when you can grill out. That's why Ace will help you get a great grill for your family from the best brands like Big Green Egg, Traeger, and Weber. And with your local Ace right in your neighborhood, we'll assemble and deliver your grill for free. Then, to make it even easier, we'll include free fuel to help you get grilling. The brands you love and the service you trust, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members through May 31st on grills and accessories $3.99 and up. Propane tag not included. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
Hi! Guess we should talk about something. How's the,